Welcome to the JBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, Senior Pastor here at JBC, and we're glad that you've joined us again this week. Today, Associate Pastor Mark Coleman continues our Christmas series, Songs of Hope. And together, we have a look at the invitation found in Psalm 126.
The Bible reading today is from Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy." Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them.
We are now into week three of our Christmas series entitled Songs of Hope. Looking at Psalms recommended by the lectionary, which is a Bible plan that helps many churches across the world to work out what to study and when. And Psalm 126 that we've had read for us is a psalm of ascent, which means it was written for the people of God when they were on their way to worship. They would sing or speak this aloud as they were on their way to worship God in the temple, almost kind of like pre-worship. And worship gives us perspective. It helps us to see something about the nature of God or ourselves. And in this case, God's people are invited to recognize that God is in the business of provision and restoration. Whatever our circumstances, whether we are currently celebrating God's provision or we find ourselves in a place of need. And more than just observation, we are invited into that work itself. We are invited into God's work of provision and restoration. The concept of paying it forward, the idea that an act of generosity towards you should inspire you to act generously towards another, can be traced all the way back to Greek literature and not just to a film in 2000. And in my experience, it works. Acts of incredible financial generosity towards Nicolai and I, like finding the money that we needed to pay rent that month, stuffed into our letterbox during the early months of our marriage, have inspired us, at least in part, to try and be generous to other people, to provide where we can. But generosity is also about perspective, because it's very easy to look around the Sutherland Shire and to think that we're not that well off in comparison to other people. In summer 2000, I spent some time at a street kids shelter in South Africa, and I met a teacher there called Felix. Meeting Felix was like meeting Jesus. Despite living in a township himself, in a makeshift home, and with very little, he gave everything to teach the street kids who had nothing. Felix knew that an education was vital for any chance of these kids' lives changing from the position that they were in currently. And he knew that he could be a part of their restoration by providing where he could. And we can so easily slip into a poverty mindset. And not just financially, but emotionally as well, particularly when times get tough. We can believe that we have got nothing left to give. During a significant time of darkness and distress in my life, there was this light bulb moment for me when I went with a friend who asked me to go and lead worship in a young offender's prison. I suddenly realized that even when I was at the end of myself, I still had something to offer. And because God is kind, he brought me so much encouragement in that place. as I recognized him at work in me, and as I learned and heard stories of where God was at work transforming the lives of these inmates. And I think perspective is at the heart of this psalm, a psalm of worship designed to shift our focus onto God. Because this psalm invites us to recognize that whether we are living in plenty or in want, God provides and restores. He invites us to fix our eyes upon him, to recognize and celebrate his provision and his restoration, and to live with a perspective of abundance, knowing that we can do all things through him who gives us strength, including carry out his work of provision and restoration in the lives of others. Psalm 126 is split into two parts. The first part of this psalm is all about the celebration of God's provision. And the second encourages those experiencing distress to recognize God's restoration. And buried in verse 2, I believe, lies the invitation for God's people to get involved with both of those things. So let's look at these ideas. Firstly, this psalm encourages the original hearers to celebrate God's provision. Verses 1 to 3 speak of God's work in restoring his people back to Jerusalem. Around about 538 BC, the Jews had been in exile in Babylon for approximately 70 years. And they were strangers in a foreign land, living outside their cultural norm. In many ways, they were like our understanding of modern-day refugees. And then almost out of the blue, the new king of Babylon, King Cyrus, in response to a prophecy from Jeremiah and his own heart moved by God, suddenly decrees that all of the Jews can return to Jerusalem, to Zion, to the place symbolic of God's presence with God's people. We can't properly grasp the significance of this. But imagine being one of the 5.6 million Syrian refugees who are displaced in the world right now. Suddenly told that civil war is over, that religious fighting is over, and that you can now return to your homes to rebuild the places that are so sacred to you. This is the magnitude of the events that the first half of this psalm recounts. And can you imagine the singing? If you want a song of hope, then this is it. The Lord had done a very great thing for his people, and they were understandably filled with joy. But the language of the first half of this psalm is past tense. These were historical events at the time of writing, which suggests, before we get to the second half, that life was at least different now. Verses 1 to 3 invite the hearer to celebrate the provision of God, but more specifically, to remember his provision, because it is the memory of God's provision in good times that carries you in times when you need God's restoration. And this is a theory that's tried and tested. Hope theory is a form of counseling that specifically helps people develop hope for the future by recollecting situations that have turned out positively in the past. God's people are invited to remember and to celebrate that he is in the business of providing for his people, because it helps them to cope when times are tough. And that's where the second half of this psalm comes in, where verses 4 to 6 encourage the hearer to recognize that God is the one who restores. The language of verses 4 to 6 is more immediate. Rather than recalling God's provision in the past, we hear the cries of God's people to change their present situation. Now, back in Jerusalem, tasked with the rebuilding of the temple, God's people are facing challenges again. Discouragement from within their own ranks, opposition from outside. And the language of sowing and reaping points to the anxiety the people may also have felt about a poor harvest. And into this distress, into this need for restoration, this psalm invites the people of God to petition God, to ask God to change their circumstances, even to the point of bringing their tears before God. And I love what is encouraged here. It's another perspective-shifting moment as God's people are actually invited to remember again. But this time, it's a shorter-term memory, a visual picture of restoration. The Negev mentioned in verse 4 was dry, arid desert most of the year. But in winter, when the rains formed streams, flowers would blossom almost overnight. What an incredibly vivid and beautiful picture of restoration. Flowers in the desert. And this is true to the nature of God. God who is near to the brokenhearted, who is in the business of bringing restoration to those who mourn, to those who shed tears, God restores joy. Listen to these words from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 61 of that book. The Lord has anointed me to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And these are words that Jesus made his own in Luke chapter 4. God is in the business of provision and restoration. And I believe that verse 2 of this psalm, by implication, invites God's people to get involved in both. Psalm 126, verse 2 says, "Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them." The provision of God, celebrated by his people, was observed by the surrounding nations. They didn't just observe it, they acknowledged it as well. The plan all along for God's people was to be a display home of what it meant to live in relationship with the creator of the universe, to be an invitation into that life. And the nations who had oppressed and attacked Israel, God's people, are here acknowledging that God has provided for them. This is God's plan A, that the world would see in God's people what living under God's provision and restoration looks like. And how much more will the world sit up and notice God when his people are in the business of carrying out God's provision and restoration? God is in the business of provision and restoration. And I am certain that he wants us to get involved. So what could this possibly mean for us at, a time like Christmas? How do we get involved in God's work of provision and restoration? Well, perhaps unsurprisingly, I believe that our invitation is the same. It's the same as it was for the original hearers of this psalm. And that's because that's what psalms are for. They are finely crafted thoughts that have invited the people of God over the centuries into a life that is directed towards their Maker. And I believe that this psalm invites us to celebrate God's provision, to recognize that God is the God who restores, and to be those who get involved in both, so that the nations might see and experience God's invitation into life in and through us. And how do we do this? Well, celebrating God's goodness is something that we have been working hard on for a few years here at GBC. My stories and our sneaky Jesus moments are all about that, about taking time to celebrate where we have seen God at work in our lives, sometimes in the mundane and sometimes in the extraordinary. But perhaps you need something more, a way to celebrate more frequently or more intentionally about the work of God in your life. I have always found it easier to speak about the work of God in the deepest parts of who I am with someone I know and trust and someone who I believe kind of gets me. Because then I get to share the bits that seem a bit less glamorous, or the bits where I'm not sure if it was God at work, or just something I want to be true. And maybe you're the same. Maybe it will be helpful going into this new year to pick someone that you trust, a friend, maybe a spouse, a family member, and commit to sending them a text every time you observe God at work in your life. God doing something that makes you go, wow, God is kind. At the very least, you'll encourage someone else. But I suspect that this kind of activity will begin to shape us in very significant ways. And recognizing God's restoration in this psalm seems to start with vulnerability, with sowing, with tears. And I think there's something hugely significant about the imagery of sowing and harvest in this psalm. And that's the time that it takes. Crops don't really grow overnight, despite the flowers that have bloomed in the desert. Usually, it takes time. And whilst God can do that incredible and extraordinary immediate work, often God's work of restoration takes time. Brené Brown, research professor and Christian, has extensively studied and written about the benefits of vulnerability. And she says this: vulnerability is the birthplace of joy, belonging, creativity, authenticity, and love. This psalm is inviting us to be vulnerable before God, to bring our deepest fears and our darkest secrets before Him, and invite Him to be at work within them. And whilst I really don't want to minimize anyone's suffering, I think it's sometimes God's grace that restoration can often take time, because it is over time that joy, belonging, connection and love are built with the Creator of the universe. And that is an enduring relationship that is something to celebrate. And why and how are we to be those who get involved in both God's work of provision and restoration? Because it would change the world. And because God enables us to do it. When someone recommends a new method or methodology for getting fit or getting slim or getting more skilled, you'll probably say, I'll give that a try, while in your mind you have already mentally moved it to the trash and are no longer going to think about that. But when you see someone practicing what they preach and the positive impacts that it has on their life observed, then you are much more likely to take notice. You are much more likely to give it a try yourself. God is inviting us to be those who recognize the abundance of His provision in our lives, that we might demonstrate extravagant generosity and give of our money, our emotional energy, perhaps even our time, thinking about what we spend and where we spend it this Christmas to a world that is desperately thirsty for us to do so. And God invites us to be those who weep over injustice, to weep over the injustice that we see everywhere, and then to actively engage in sowing God's restoration plan into action, standing up against injustice, comforting those who mourn, loving the widow, the stranger, the refugee. And God has gone there first, enabling us, making a way in the person of Jesus, who we celebrate in this season. His coming to give us life and life in all its fullness. God is in the business of provision and restoration, and I am certain that He is inviting us to get involved in both.
God is in the business of restoration, and each of us is invited to join Him in that activity through active, perspective-altering remembrance of what He has already done. This is the basis of hope and joy at Christmas. We hope you join us again soon, and we'd love for you to join us for church at gbconline.org.au at our regular service times of 8:30, 10:30, and 6 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. You can also follow us on Facebook or visit our website at gaimiabaptist.org.au. Until then, God bless.